This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you. Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, the annual consumer price inflation falls slightly in August, and South Africa's car sector faces growing challenges. The economist Waldo Krichel talks about the GDP figures that were released last week. In international business news, Microsoft is set to invest in the United Kingdom's artificial intelligence sector. In investment news, shares in the food producer Libstar jumped yesterday after talks of a possible takeover bid, and we'll check in with Chris Hutton from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk about, among others, the risks to the South African economy if the ANC expands the South African Reserve Bank's mandate to include employment and growth.
A look now at local business news.
The annual consumer price inflation fell by 0.1% month-on-month to 3.3% in August, down from 3.5% in July. The main contributors to the annual inflation rate were housing and utilities at 4.3% and food and non-alcoholic beverages at 5.2%. The annual inflation rate for goods was 3.1%, down from 3.2% in July, and for services 3.6%, unchanged from July. The South African car sector faces growing challenges as Chinese and Indian vehicle imports increase, partly due to US-China trade tensions. Local producers like Ford are cutting jobs, while Nissan's future remains uncertain. Chinese brands offering tech-rich, affordable cars are rapidly gaining market share. Financial institutions like Westbank are partnering with these brands, while retailers such as WeBuyCars are adapting. Experts warn that without government support and diversification of export markets, job losses and trade imbalances may worsen. And private schools are unhappy with the proposed amendments to the Value-Added Tax Act. If the amendments are promulgated, they will force these schools to deregister as VAT vendors in January next year. The schools claim that this could force them to increase fees or levies. The deregistration of private schools as VAT vendors is part of the National Treasury's Draft Taxation Laws Amendment Bill. The schools say the proposed implementation date of January next year also leaves them with no time to adjust or plan. We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, SA's GDP rose to 0.8% in the second quarter, up from the previous 0.1%. The South African economy, however, is still not out of the woods yet. Can you tell us more?
On the production side, almost all sectors grew, led by mining and agriculture. The construction and transport sectors, however, contracted in the second quarter. On the demand side, it was household and government spending that drove growth. Investment, imports, and exports all contracted. It's exactly the demand side that highlights our problems. Consumer spending grew the fastest in the categories of restaurants and accommodation, and also clothing and footwear. That's welcome, but it's not the foundation on which the economy can grow sustainably. Government spending did rise in the second quarter, but for the whole year, the minister has budgeted for a primary surplus, which means that it's not particularly expansionary fiscal policy. The Bureau points out that the economy is now 2.8% bigger than in the fourth quarter of 2019, just before the COVID pandemic. Consumption spending is now 5% higher, yet private sector fixed investment is 11% lower. And if you take out investment in machinery and equipment, which was mostly renewable energy due to load shedding, investment is 22% lower. That's why the economy is not growing. It doesn't make much sense to accuse businesses of an investment strike. They are exposed to rising costs of doing business, red tape, crime, and policy uncertainty. The slow pace of reform eats away at business confidence. Without growth, unemployment and poverty will remain high.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
Microsoft is set to invest $30 billion in the United Kingdom's artificial intelligence sector. This is the largest investment outside the US as part of a £31 billion tech prosperity deal with the UK government and other US tech giants including Google and Nvidia. The plan includes data centers, AI infrastructure, and a supercomputer in Essex. It is expected to create highly skilled jobs and boost economic growth. The UK Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, calls it a generational step towards change, while Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella highlights potential GDP growth within 5 years.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Shares in the food producer Libstar jumped as much as 16.6% yesterday after the company said it was considering a possible takeover bid. The stock closed at 14.47% higher at R4.35, its best rally in 3 months. Its valuation has still fallen 64% since listing in 2018, though leaving its market capitalization at 2.64 billion rand. Libstar reported a 6.7% rise in revenue to 5.96 billion rand for the 6 months to June, with headline earnings per share up 15.4% to 23.2 cents. Before we say goodbye, we're joined today by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutting. Chris, thanks for joining us. What are the risks to the South African economy if the ANC expands the South African Reserve Bank's mandate to include employment and growth?
The risks facing South Africa's monetary policy specifically, should the mandate of the Reserve Bank be expanded to include targeting employment and growth, are many. Number one, it seeks to shift the responsibility for South Africa's lackluster growth from Parliament and the Executive to the Central Bank. The Central Bank does not have the tools or the ability to set the policy conditions for economic growth, even if it had the authority. Also, widening the Reserve Bank's mandate to pursue employment and growth will not address the structural barriers to business activity, capital formation, and job creation. Also, encouraging the government to run deficits to boost growth ignores that the government has already been running large deficits for more than 15 years with very little growth to show for it. And one should reinforce here, South Africa should also not risk going down the route of the Reserve Bank pursuing lower interest rates, even if it means high inflation. South Africans are already under groaning risk and burdens of the cost of living, especially lower income households. So accelerating living expenses further and faster is a recipe for unrest.
What does South Africa's 0.8 GDP growth in the second quarter really tell us about the economy?
While the small uplift in South Africa's GDP growth in the second quarter of 0.8% is welcome in and of itself and is better than the 0.1% that the economy achieved in the first quarter of this year, it's not enough yet to think that South Africa is embarking on an upward growth cycle. Between 2012 and 2023, South Africa averaged 0.8% growth. So for South Africa to break out of that will require a lot in terms of reforms and confidence from investors, both domestic and international. If reforms at Eskom and Transnet improve the energy and logistics outlook, growth could exceed 1% next year. But in the absence of policy reforms, it will only be by a small margin. One should also look at gross fixed capital formation in South Africa. In the second quarter, gross fixed capital formation decreased by 1.4%. This was the third consecutive quarter of decline. So South Africa is not yet convincing domestic business and international investors to sink a meaningful amount of capital, fixed capital, into the country. And that means that economic growth will continue to underperform.
Is South Africa making any progress in reducing the US tariffs on its goods?
South Africa, as represented by Minister Parks Tau, the Minister of Trade and Industry, and a few other high-level representatives, South Africa is back in Washington last week and this week to look at formal negotiations with the US around a trade deal and possibly lowering the 30% tariff that is now in place on South African exports to the US. Washington has rejected Pretoria's trade proposals repeatedly since May. The fact that there is this high-level engagement is in of itself a positive sign, but it doesn't mean that it's going to deliver anything in concrete actions or in reality. Though any deal is likely to be presented by Pretoria as a great victory, current indications that much more could be achieved through a more creative and open-minded approach to the negotiations in general.
And that was Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on Biz Scoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of Biz Scoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.